Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
And it was so scary because you didn't expect it at all. Because Bjork is so cute. Do not fuck with Bjork. Bjork will beat your ass. Bjork beat this woman's ass one time in this videotape. She was at the Bangkok airport and she was pushing her luggage cart and this woman came up and touched her like this and Bjork just went and it was so scary because you didn't expect it at all because Bjork is so cute.
And if you complain once more you'll be down.
That is so fucking scary. Then Bjork called the woman that she attacked afterwards to apologize.
I'm very sorry. I tried to pull your eyes up over your head.
You're on.
I did a benefit for an organization called MoveOn.org, and that was the week that MoveOn was embroiled in controversy because they had a couple of ads on their site that equated Bush with Hitler. And so I did the benefit and I said, George Bush is not Hitler. He would be if he applied himself. That is so fucking scary.
And if you complain once more, you'll be done.
Do not fuck with Bjork. Bjork will beat your ass. And it was so scary because you didn't expect it at all. Because Bjork is so cute, you didn't expect it at all. Because Bjork is so cute, you didn't expect it. You didn't expect it. You didn't expect it. You didn't expect it. Because Bjork is so cute.
All of humanity can be put into three groups. Group A consists of that tiny portion of people who own the bulk of the wealth in America. About 145,000 people who are the absolute super rich. They don't work because they don't have to. They receive the bulk of their money from dividends on stock investments, interest payments on bonds and securities, the sale of appreciated holdings in commodity futures and real estate, rents on income property, payments on privately financed loans or mortgage notes that they hold as creditors, and they also make enormous sums from government business subsidies and other government giveaways, royalties from oil and other mineral deposits, and various other investments. Some prominent tycoons who preside over vast financial empires may in fact work, but they do so out of personal choice, not economic necessity. And the workday they put in does not explain the source of their immense wealth, nor the pace at which it accumulates. The far greater portion of their fortune comes from the ownership of assets that directly or indirectly engage the labor of others. Now, most of humanity is in Group B. Group B consists of those who live principally off wages, salaries, bonuses, fees, commissions, and pensions. Group B includes a wide income spread, from affluent professionals who have to work because they can't live exclusively off their investment earnings, to working poor who have no net assets and endure real deprivations. Generally, what the people in Group A and B have in common is that they both live principally off the labor of the people in Group B. Group C comprises the most desperate millions throughout the world who've been forced off the labor market and who live in absolute destitution. Their political function is to be castigated and scapegoat as social parasites. Their economic function is to provide a surplus of needy workers at home and abroad who help glut the labor market and depress wages. They make up what Marx called the reserve army of labor. While asserting that the poor create their own poverty, ruling elites pursue policies that take from the needy and give to the greedy. So we have lower wages and lower salaries for the people in Group B, with greater earnings for top corporate executives, shareholders, bondholders, and others in Group A. We have a growing and more regressive tax burden for Group B, with multi-billion dollar tax cuts for Group A. We have deep cuts in human services for Groups B and C, but ever-increasing government services, protections, and contracts for big corporate business in Group A. In the United States, most of the people living below the poverty level, including many homeless people, actually work. If they're poor, it's not because they're lazy, but because they're being paid poverty wages while facing exorbitant rents, regressive taxes, and very high costs. In our society, the line between the poor and the working class is becoming increasingly blurred. High-paying blue-collar employment has all but disappeared, but in its place are millions of new low-paying jobs. Often the wife in the family now brings in a second income, a low one, to make up for the male breadwinner's drop in earnings. In addition, numerous white-collar occupations have been eliminated or downgraded, including medical personnel, middle managers, technicians, and other professionals. When employees are de-skilled, they're also disempowered, being more replaceable and thus less able to negotiate conditions of employment. As profits have achieved record levels and stock prices have surged, the great mass of working people have seen their wages stagnate or fall, while many of their benefits have been reduced or eliminated. In the last 20 years, the real income of a U.S. male worker with a high school diploma has plunged by 30%. This means greater inequality and greater privilege for the few and greater hardship for the many. This is Michael Parenti. This is Michael Parenti. This is Michael Parenti.
MichaelParenti.org.
I'm afraid a little bit about how angry people are about politics, and I get in a lot of trouble sometimes. I did a benefit for an organization called MoveOn.org, and that was the week that MoveOn was embroiled in controversy because they had a couple of ads on their site that equated Bush with Hitler. And so I did the benefit, and I said, George Bush is not Hitler. He would be if he applied himself. And for this, I was deluged with hate mail from the right wing. So much hate mail. But none of it was about political discourse. None of it was, Ms. Cho, I believe you're being unfair to our administration. None of it was like that at all. It was all, You chink cunt. Go back to your country where you came from, you fat pig. Go back to your country, you fat pig goat. Go back to your country, you fat dyke, fat dyke, fat dyke. Go back to your country, fat dyke, fat dyke, fat dyke. Jesus saves. Ooh, enchanté. Well, I can't go back to my country because I was born here. I'm already in my country. The only person that has the right to tell you to go back to your country is a Native American. But since I so wholeheartedly believe in free speech, I took their emails and I posted them on my website. And I included their return email addresses. And a lot of people emailed me from work, so it had all their work information. Their home telephone number, and their cell number, and their social security number, and their PIN number, and what kind of ice cream they liked, and all this shit. And I didn't realize this, but there are people out there who really, really like me, and they are pissed off to begin with, and they need half a reason. Oh, I wish somebody would try to fuck with my girl. So in posting these emails, what I had done is I had inadvertently activated Al Qaeda. They started Al Qaeda training camp, where they offered Pilates. And I was getting apology emails flooding in so fast, I couldn't believe it. I'm sorry I called you a chink gook cunt. I didn't mean it. I'm very sorry. You have a right to your opinion, and I'm very, very sorry.
I think as well another tension is between the whole idea of theory and practice. You can't be a theoretical anarchist. You can't. Well, you can, I suppose. You can make anarchism into an intellectual idea and play games. And fuck me, some of the magazines I've read. You know, I sit down with a thesaurus and try and make sense of them. It's like Albert Meltzer, who's now dead, once said to me, you know, one of the problems with anarchists is if they put their head up their arses far enough, they will talk utter shite, right? And at the moment, comrades, some of our heads are very near our tonsils, yeah? Because we're in our own world making things up. We're making ideas up. And those ideas look great. I mean, doing it, I've woken up at 4 a.m, like, fucking hell, yes, that's great. Oh, yes, Descartes, oh, yes, we'll put a bit of Descartes, oh, fuck off. Look, one of the problems with that is that anarchism is how you are, right? It's a bastard. I said to you, I've been an anarchist for 30 years. I've often at times wished I haven't been. Never mind people think you're about to, you know, sexually intimidate their animals or something. More importantly, if you're an anarchist, you try and live by some morality that's different. Alfredo Bonanno, in his book that's been sold around here, The Anarchist Tension, says you wake up and you try. You try not to be fucking selfish. You try to listen. I've got a 10-year-old son and I have a go at him awful sometimes. And I fucking hate myself. I hate myself. And I think most anarchists have been in that situation where you actually sit there and you writhe about how you've been. I'll tell you what, you can be a Marxist and be an utter bastard. Well, they have been, haven't they, to all of us. But we can't be. We can't do that. We live in practice. You can't say, oh, I'm an anarchist. Oh, yeah, well, fucking prove it then. By the way you are with people, how you talk to people, and how you operate with people. And we'll have less of that for a start, all right? What I'm saying, I guess, is that we all know that. And sometimes all of us criticise ourselves too much. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But it is important, that link between theory and practice. No one here demeans intellectual ideas. But what we do is we reduce them. What does that idea mean in practice? What does it mean then? If you actually put it into practice, what does it mean? And if it means shite, you don't put it into practice. If it means turning on someone, or demeaning someone, or not thinking it through and ended up in shit, so be it. You don't put it into practice. Any idea is clever. People tend to be difficult, eh? They've got emotions and feelings. You live with people, not ideas. I should also, I guess, say as well that my final point, well, my second to final point would be, there ought to be ways that we discourse with each other and in the language that we use. I've been interested in the American term called ranting, yeah, where you have a rant. I don't think we rant. You don't rant with anybody. Anarchism isn't about me, it's about us. Right, that's all, it's about us. And I'm quite important, thank you, I'd like to say that. But it's also about how I become we. Because one of the problems that maybe I should have mentioned is that we need to consider our relationship to capitalism. Some of us are leading a nice life, thank you. We're doing all right. We're getting on all right, eh? Look at us, it's nice, nice day. San Francisco, County State Building, here we are. It's all right. Some of us can live and not be challenged. But you can't live, I mean, Deb said it years ago, until everybody's free. You're not, and I'm not. And ranting at me, or me ranting at you, gets nowhere. I'll talk and I'll listen and I'll try. And maybe we ought to learn how to speak to each other in a comradely fashion, instead of being fucking egoistic and stupid. Final point is this, I guess, that I'm intrigued about anarchist book fairs. I've noticed, and maybe you have, that there seems to be almost a cadre of professional speakers who do the circuits, you know, like, hey, where are you going next year? I'm going to Montreal. And I'd like maybe to see people who aren't like that. I like to see people who are working through things. I like to see the language of an anarchist book fair talk being one of confusion sometimes, as people are actually doing activities, events, try and work things out. I don't really come here to be entertained, I come to learn, I guess. Whatever. Thank you.
Please remember the moral of tonight's show. Put your troubles away till tomorrow. If you're lucky, someone will break into your house tonight and steal them.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for nonprofit use.